C6, number 13B.
Recurring theme, just showing that with God all things are possible. And so naturally also here, in regard to healing, we get that whole tone. She says, just to indicate that, and I just read a few examples, God is not of little use in sickness. So God is of big use in sickness. God can do all things for us in sickness. God has control over sickness. All disease is cured by mind. All acute and chronic disease yield to truth. Truth is more potent than all lower powers. Can you hear the sense that with God all things are possible, that God can heal all, that there is nothing that cannot be touched by God, that He heals all organic disease, functional disease, acute disease, chronic disease, that it has control over all disease, constantly that sense of God can do all. That therefore there is no other healing except through God or mind. If God is all, then you have also a sense there is no other healing agent. No healings except by mind. No healings except by means of divine power. That we should not resort to aught but mind. Can you see again in another vein to bring out with God all things are possible. Therefore, not to resort to aught but God. Let God have a chance, so to say. In that same vein, naturally, if God is a help in every situation, then naturally she asks for complete reliance on God. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. So, would you feel that if we listen to these tones, that it gives again a new tone, which we didn't have before, that exclusiveness, so to say, of God healing, of truth healing, that there is no other healing possible, that there is no other healing power. In a way, one would have expected that she would bring out that already before in the sixth chapter in medicine also, or that there she would have already said that, but she hadn't. It's all in this chapter here that now she brings out, you see, there is no other healing power but just God. Therefore, He is a help in every situation. Therefore, rely on this healing power always, entirely and completely. Then there is a second category, perhaps to consider, and it's quite different. And this was a bit bewildering at the first, analysis. And so, but one has to be honest in that investigation, not try to put anything into it which is not there. So, there is a second category which, with a lot of references, just showing that we should not fill our human mind with the pictures of disease. That we should not fill our mind with the pictures of disease. Naturally, we could say that this has nothing to do with healing. See? This is not really applicable to the question, how do we heal? It's much more a question, how do we prevent getting disease? So actually, what I'm reading here is not so much applicable to our subject, But because it has such terrific impact in this chapter, I just would like to read it, and then afterwards we'll see why. See, here, this chapter is full of the following, that it says that we should not picture disease to the mind. Actually, that's a kind of preventive healing, that we should not picture disease to the mind. Prevent images of disease from taking form in thought. Can you see that it's the same thing? Efface the outlines of disease in the minds of mortals. Here it's a way of healing, deface those images of thought. Give less thoughts to sanitary subjects and you have less disease. All disease is a result of education. Again, what we entertain in the mind. That we should not read treatises on anatomy, physiology, health, material laws, because they promote sickness. That we should not read medical books, descriptions of disease, because they promote disease. That doctors should not implant disease. That's a well-known phenomena of iatrogenic diseases. That we should prevent disease from forming in the human mind. Can you see, these references actually have not so much to do with healing, but much more how to prevent it, but also in a way indicate that if we do not picture disease in the human mind, that helps of freeing the human mind of disease. Then there is a third category, which shows, and that's why I have taken in the second category, which shows that healing takes place when the human mind yields to the divine mind. She says this in plain words. She says, when the human mind gives place to the divine mind, the disease will disappear. We are healing by removing the influence of mortal mind and filling thought with the divine energies of truth. These are the three categories, and therefore we can see what these three categories really want to show. Or, no, categories, three classifications. In one way, what she says here about healing is this, that she says, God can do all things. God is a help in every case and heals and saves. There is no other power that can heal. No other power that can heal. Then she shows that she says, that therefore, if God does heal in every case, then don't picture disease and images of disease in your mind, or it will make you sick. Therefore, be aware that in your mind, you are not entertaining pictures of disease, but that you are entertaining in your mind that mind, God, can do all things for you. This is, I think, the whole rhythm in this chapter. It therefore shows that there is no other healing but by truth power, but in order to experience that, we are here at the point of Christianity, in order to experience that, we have to bring thought into line with the truth. And in bringing thought in line with the truth, by exchanging wrong thought, erroneous thought, for the truth, then we rely really on the only healing power. Well, I would say I had most difficulty with this chapter in order to epitomize everything. There are so many references in it to epitomize it, and I tried it in various ways, but perhaps the one that we can take is healing. Healing takes place when the human mind yields to the divine mind. Actually, I don't know if this is a very happy result. We perhaps also could have said it straight on, and perhaps could have said there is no other healing power but the truth power. Healing takes place only when? Yeah. All right. Yes. So perhaps you can make a note for yourself also and say, well, what she says here is that there is no other healing but the truth power, perhaps. I like to be indefinite at certain points because it gives you a sense that I too have constantly to rethink these things and reweigh these statements, that it isn't so that anybody just by its first reading can just epitomize it and say, now I got it and now I stick to it and that's that. But I like you to feel how I'm constantly in the flow, that I weigh these chapters always anew, and actually from seminar to seminar I change many of these epitomes and adapt them. And this is the way we should work. We should never feel, here I have been to a seminar, now I have taken down the epitomes and now I stick to them through high and hell water because Max said so. It is a working sheet that you have and from which you can go on and really elaborate on it and refine it and polish it until it comes out clearer and clearer. We have to get into that habit of a scientist. The scientist never says, I got it. It's only the religionist that says, I got it. The scientist always questions his findings. And only by questioning his findings he can make progress. So we go to the next one, Footsteps of Truth. And this again is a rather long chapter with a lot of references. And here we find that she would say that really only the understanding of metaphysics, the metaphysical concept, the metaphysical attitude is healing and not matter is healing. It is as if she would compare matter and metaphysics with each other and show that matter cannot heal, that matter has no healing power within itself, but that what is needed is that which is above the material level, the metaphysical level, and that only metaphysics heal. Let me just run through some of the references. First, how she shows that matter cannot heal. She says, matter cannot heal, willpower cannot heal, drugs and hypnotism. Drugs and hypnotism cannot heal. Matter cannot cure disease. Drugs can never really heal. Can you hear first the aspect that matter cannot heal? It's interesting. We would have thought that the chapter on medicine would tell us that. But funny enough, it comes in here. And it comes in here, I guess, because then afterwards she gives a lot of references that if matter does not heal, it is the metaphysical attitude that heals. And actually that metaphysical attitude is brought out not just through the term metaphysics. It's brought out through various aspects of a metaphysical attitude that she says it here. She says, prayer, governed by science, heals. See, this is a metaphysical healing. Prayer, governed by science, heals. That we heal in disregard of matter and its laws. Well, that implies, if it's in disregard of matter, that it implies metaphysical laws. She speaks about Jesus, that he healed by metaphysical processes. He says, healing is proved to be scientifically distinct from matter. See, every time it is distinct from matter, it's naturally metaphysical. She speaks of healing through metaphysical science. That already prayer governed by science heals, that Jesus healed through metaphysical processes. She says, therefore, banish all thoughts of disease. Empty the human mind of disease. Keep out of mind diseased thoughts, because spiritual drafts heal. See, this is again metaphysical. Devotion heals. Perfect models in thought, like goodness, mercy, love, heals. Can you see, she doesn't say here, truth heals. She doesn't say here, mind heals. Here it's all the metaphysical qualities. Why? Because here we are in the Christ as science. And the horizontal there as science naturally is again the scientific consciousness that heals. And that scientific consciousness is a metaphysical consciousness with all the qualities of metaphysics. He says, if God does not heal, disease is not destroyed. Mind, finally she says, mind is the only healer. Mind, metaphysics. Yeah. Can you see what this chapter now implies? It implies now, really, I think we could put that down as our epitome, that we could say metaphysics heal, metaphysics heal, matter cannot heal. Now this would ask, we would now have to see, what is the common denominator in this second set of four chapters? And if we run through it and see what have we learned here, we have learned in animal magnetism that it is not a true healing agent. But still remembering what animal magnetism as a healing agent establishes. It says it is the truth that is established in the minds of the patient that heals. That's how psychology heals, that's how psychiatry heals, that's how biofeedback heals, that's how all the 100 other metaphysical groups in the West now heal. It's always establishing some kind of truth in the minds of mortals. But truth is a small t, mind is a small m. Therefore, what is the answer? The answer is in the sixth chapter in Christian Science, which says, now I tell you the principle, the divine principle of healing, not the human principle of healing, the divine principle of healing, and that divine principle of healing is truth capitalized and mind capitalized. Namely, the principle of healing, that truth heals through mind. Therefore, we come to physiology, therefore, if you want to experience that healing, then you must exchange the human mind pictures, the human mind models of thought, for the divine models of thought. You must exchange the human mind picture for the divine mind picture. The divine mind is the healer. Therefore, if the divine mind is the healer, we come to the eighth chapter, therefore not matter can heal, but healing is a completely metaphysical process based on the one mind. So if we look at this whole column, we feel everything turned around truth and mind as the principle of healing. So I guess we could easily epitomize this second column by saying truth healing through mind. Truth healing through mind. Let's just think about those two columns and the indices there to see what is the big picture. Again, we see in the world that first of all the question has been asked, how can we attain spiritual healing power? And so those first four chapters were explaining how we really get the spirit of healing power. That the healing power is spirit, and the moment she could show that it is a spiritual power and not a mental power, therefore she could give us the Christ nature of healing. Namely, that this mental power is the great truth, God's truth, that heals through mind. And so we feel that when we get the spirit in the first four chapters of healing, that then really that spirit, that Christ spirit, can be used by truth and mind to accomplish the healing. Yes, so this finishes with the second vertical.